Welcome to the Journey to the New Earth podcast, where we invite you into our motivating and fun community to safely share ideas on raising consciousness and creating new systems that support humanity and Earth as a whole. We'll dive deep with fascinating interviews about near-death experiences, the world of psychics, mediums, and how channeling affects our modern lives, all while exploring where we are, what isn't working, and what we can do to facilitate the evolution of humans on a local, global, and galactic scale. Now here's your host, Kimberly.
Today we're talking with Wendy Rose Williams, ND Experiencer, and so much more. Welcome in, Wendy. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me here, Kimberly.
Well, I'm so excited to talk with you. We were just talking before we got on camera that we have some things in common. Yes. So there's a lot of connectivity here. Wendy, one of the parts of your story, at least kind of how it started for you, would appear to be an NDE experience you had several years ago. Is that where you want to start your story today?
Yes, that definitely was a big part of trying to get me as the tough oyster shell to open. So I just feel like my guides had to, you know, keep applying pressure.
Yeah, maybe this will do it.
get this oyster shell to open. So I did have a very meaningful, it's actually two NDEs back in 1997, two within a week when I was pregnant. So that was a big part of it, and being able to connect with angels for the first time and to know that that was very real. It just was more real than real of the everyday life and a lot of things, and that would just continue to blossom and develop. But where that then took me, it kind of went on the back burner in a lot.
Okay, well, let's stop just a minute, because you just said you had two NDEs and the rest of us are going, what? Can you give us just a little bit of detail? You don't have to, you know.
Sure. I'll give you the story of what happened. August of 97, I was newly pregnant, very wanted pregnancy, and we had a toddler, but I'd had infertility and I'd had two ectopic pregnancies. And bottom line, what happened was I had the uterus ruptured, and it was specific. It was only 10 weeks pregnant. It was specifically the fundus, which is the top of the uterus, and it's an aorta.
So every woman just grabbed her stomach, including me.
Exactly. So I was home alone, and I was saved by angels. It just was incredible, because I passed out on the bathroom floor. And I would not have come to except for this insistent male voice that I later recognized as Archangel Michael. And he kept saying, Wendy, Wendy, you've got to wake up now. You've got to call for help or you're going to go home. So I was given beautiful assistance from the angels to do that, which really changed my belief system so profoundly, Kimberly, because I really had not been on a spiritual path. I wouldn't have considered myself awake at that time when I had this incredible experience. So long story short, my husband gets me to the hospital very quickly, and I'm very fortunate. He actually takes me to the OBGYN office, is where I want to be taken, and have called them frantically and am taken there, but they're located at the hospital. So perfect. So I get taken quickly from the doctor's office and admitted into the hospital. And I end up having a second, I'm in the hospital for a week, bleeding out. And I end up having a second NDE 3 or 4 days into that hospital stay, right after I'd agreed a few hours earlier with my physician that I did need surgery, because they'd been transfusing blood, and it just wasn't, I'm losing it faster than it can be transfused. So we'd agreed to surgery. And once I knew I was going to be having surgery the next morning, I'm just trying to relax. I'm just trying to think of a positive outcome as I'm waiting that night before the surgery, just having had my dinner. And the minute I try and visualize a positive outcome, I pop right out of my body. Evidently, that was my best outcome. And I went home. I went home to the light in a really meaningful way. And I learned three things from the angels and was just given this really respectful choice of whether I wanted to come back. And I said, yes, absolutely. I made the decision. Archangel Michael shared three things with me. He told me I would have, if I chose to go back, I'd have a successful surgery the next day. My baby would be born healthy. So these were two things that were making me really think about, oh, maybe I do want to go back. Because when I first got home, getting that hug from my soul family and feeling that unconditional love, we do not feel that very often. We do not feel that sometimes. Some people have never felt that in their lifetime. So it's crucial we learn how to give that to ourselves and be able to radiate that out to others more. But feeling that, it was like, oh, I'm staying here.
Yeah, this is the good stuff. Yeah. Did it feel familiar when you popped into that reality? Did you feel like, oh my gosh,
it was home? It's like, I'm home. Yeah. I'm home. I'm home. It's like I've been on an adventure, you know, being off, having the incarnation and being, you know, in a body as Wendy Rose Williams, but I was home. When I was with my soul family and the angels in the background and getting that hug. So he tells me, Michael tells me two things that make me think, oh, my goodness, I should consider going back, because if I know I'm going to regain my health and if I know my baby's going to be born healthy. But the third thing he said was the kicker. It was, if you choose to go back, your life will be very difficult, likely for many years, because you're not on your life path. So that's like, oh my goodness, I could.
Did you say, wait a minute, what's
I certainly did. I was horrified to hear I was not on my life path. No one wants to hear that. Mm-mm. I was embarrassed. I was chagrined. I felt terrible. So I'm looking at him like, oh, please, you've got to tell me more. And he just shook his head. And so I'm then looking around at the whole group, because there were 18 or 20 beings of light there, soul family members there. And I'm thinking, oh, someone's got to give, you know.
Give me just a hint, just a hint.
Yes, but they would not. And I just need to excuse myself for 1 minute and open the
okay.
my pup here. She says she's done with being in the room with us. No one else would tell me anything either. And I just was deflating. And at that moment, everyone starts being so silly. They're putting like duct tape over their mouths. They're like locking their lips with a key and throwing the key away, but they're just being so silly. I just feel so much better. And it's just such a natural way to raise our vibration and frequency to be, you know, just try and find some humor in it. Just try and find your smile. Just watch a silly old comedy. And it really is magical for us. So it's like, okay, I get it. I'm not supposed to know. I have to figure this out myself. But when, so it's like, okay, so I settle into that reality. And then Archangel Michael said to me, what do you want to do? And do you, you know, stay or go? And the minute he asked me that question, Kimberly, all I could see was our toddler's face. And she was adorable. You know, certainly every parent, you know, feels like that about their child. But to see her face, and it wasn't just normal size, it was IMAX theater size. It was like the 70-foot screen, and her face was like filling my entire world. And to know that I was going to go back and to have another baby that would be born healthy, it was an easy decision at that point. So I told Archangel Michael, put me back in. I'm ready. I'm ready to play, like that, that song. Put me in, coach. I'm ready to play.
I was thinking the same thing. Put me in, coach. Let's go.
And so he did, by just putting me down on this beautiful escalator that I'd caught a ride on home, because I ran out of energy trying to get home. So they'd provided this beautiful escalator for me, and everyone's like cheerleading for me, like, you can do it, you know, we'll be there with you. And it just felt so different because here I was 36 years old and I'd never felt that connection before. Mm-hmm. So to feel that that love and support from the divine was there, that was a game changer for me.
And
so,
I imagine that's something that you carry with you. I mean, that memory has
I
got
did.
To be
I
crystal
did.
Clear.
It really was a game changer. So I just floated back through the hospital room ceiling and just like popped gently back into my body. And it just was that simple to return. And I did have a successful surgery the next day. And that's when they found what had ruptured and what had happened. And they estimated I'd lost approximately 3/4 of my blood during that 3 to 4 day period when I'd experienced those two NDEs, the first being, you know, at home alone in my bathroom when the angels saved me and got me to the phone because I couldn't walk. I couldn't move. And Michael had said something really telling at that moment when I was lying on the bathroom floor and I was in so much pain and I felt like an organ had burst and I was just writhing in this fetal position lying on my side. And when he said to me, you've got to call for help, my answer was, I understand, but I can't walk. And what he said, Kimberly, was crucial. And I think it's true for all of us. He said, you just have to be willing to try. And I think that was such a multi-layered response. I think he was not only referring to free will, I think he was referring to we've got to put in effort.
Yeah, and the intention.
The intention, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I managed to, with a lot of difficulty, get up on my hands and knees. And at that point, it was like gently being flown to the landline. And then I was able to call for help. And then that's what just, you know, precipitated everything else. So what he told me was profoundly true, because I recover at home for 6 weeks. Because I'm like a car that's just so low on oil. I am many quarts low. I'm trying to just, my body's trying to regenerate that blood and trying to do that and regain my strength and trying to do all that while you're pregnant was a big deal. So I returned to work. I go back to a job that I really love. I had been working there about 3 years, and people knew, certainly my coworkers knew, that I'd been out for a significant amount of time. And they're like, oh, Wendy, we're so glad you're back. What happened? And I worked in a busy ambulatory surgery center. So you're like passing each other in the hall or like the 5-minute lunch in the lunchroom, because there's always just patients to take care of. I just couldn't language it, Kimberly. I didn't know what to say. You know, I would just say, oh, thank you. You know, I'm so glad to be back. I'm doing great. You know, I'm looking forward to the baby being born. I would kind of like leave it at that, because I didn't know what to say. I didn't speak about the NDE for about 20 years. Because it took that long to unpack it. I didn't speak to any healthcare providers about it, because this was 1997.
Yeah, completely different environment.
Really different environment. Mm-hmm. And I worked in healthcare, and my common sense just told me I didn't think it was going to land well. I didn't think people would know what to do with it. The irony of that, I lived in the Seattle area. Seattle IANS, the International Association of Near-Death Studies, was there. The oldest support group for
experience
in the world, 42 years old. Thank you, Kimberly Clark Sharp and Dr. Bruce Grayson, for having started that very important group that now has just chapters in so many, not only states, but countries in the world, and just helps people understand and give them support for something that can be so life-changing. I didn't know. So evidently I was meant to go through it on my own.
Yeah. And you know, back then people could have these incredible spiritual experiences and then like go do the dishes, because what are you going to do? There wasn't the conversation we have today. This is back when Shirley MacLaine did her book.
Yes.
And everybody thought she was a, you know.
And that was so brave because it really was out on a limb and everyone thought mm-hmm. she was a nutcase.
I know.
I'm so glad because she really was a way shower. I mean, it's the same thing when Dr. Michael Newton publishes mm-hmm. Souls carefully after he's retired, which I totally get why he made that choice. And Dolores Cannon, too, with quantum healing hypnotherapy and her 50 years of service, you know, people thought she was nuttier than a fruitcake.
Yeah. When I talk about Dolores Cannon, I said she looks like she just won the pie contest at the local county fair.
Right, exactly.
She doesn't necessarily, you wouldn't perceive her as being this incredible spiritual force.
Yeah, just so down home, you know, mm-hmm. married, raising multiple children, just like salt of the earth, you know, type of person. So normal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes, yes. So, you know, just really grateful to people like that, as well as Dr. Brian Weiss, who again, you know, paid some price for mm-hmm. coming out publicly while he still was in a very traditional career as an MD psychiatrist. So, you know, just appreciate that. But what happened with me, so I'm back at work. Just working to recover my health and, you know, very grateful to be back in familiar surroundings and in a great job that I love. Get called into my boss's office on Friday afternoon. Don't think a thing about it. We've got a great relationship. I think he just wants to chat about the weekend or give me an assignment for the upcoming week. And instead, when I walk into his office, it's like, ooh, I can just, you know, read his energy, and human resources is sitting there with a file folder on the table. So I know what this is. This is the dreaded Friday afternoon layoff. So I was laid off, and it was a really tough one, you know, as kind and humane as they work to be, and, you know, severance package and go file for unemployment. You've got your great references. How can we help you? But Kimberly, it wasn't only my job and full-time income that we really counted on. It was the health insurance for the entire family. And I'm pregnant. So this is not a good scenario because we now have no coverage for my prenatal care or for my delivery. So remember what the angel said.
Life it's going to be hard.
Very difficult because you're not on your path. So, and this is November of 1997. So we'll see who the economists or good historians are in the group. And what happens next is my husband comes home from work hours late on a Friday. I'm really concerned because he's not answering my phone calls and he's not contacting me. It's like 8 o'clock at night. This is not normal. Mm-hmm. So I'm waiting in the living room for him. And he walks in the door, the front door, and he looked like he was being crushed by the weight of the world. I was like, oh geez, he looks even worse than my poor boss did last Friday, my former employer. And I looked at him like, are you okay? What's going on? He says, Wendy, we need to talk. Now that's not something everyone wants to hear. So we sit down on the living room couch. It's like, are you okay? What's going on? And he shares with me the very difficult news that he has just gone to Payless Paydays because his successful software company that he was one of five owners in, which had been doing fantastic. They had 100 employees, office in downtown Bellevue, Seattle's East Side. And I mean, he'd put his heart and soul into this for years. And this was just his dream come true to be owning his own successful software company. So I haven't heard a word after Payless Payday because my brain cannot compute. It's like, I can't put those two words together.
Yeah. What does that mean?
Exactly. So finally I had to interrupt him. I'm like, say that again. What does that mean? Payless Payday. And he takes a deep breath and explains again, Wendy, I'm going to be working exceptionally long hours, like 80 hours a week, 100 hours a week, because we've got to take care of our employees. We've got to get everybody, on with unemployment. We've got to figure out what to do with our office because we have a lease, all our equipment. We've got to get the company sold. and I'm going to be programming because we have contracts sold and there's no programmers left. So I'm going to be programming. So you need to take care of everything at home because I'm going to be taking care of business. And I'm looking at him going, but you won't be getting paid for it. So I'm not happy. And I'm trying to be empathetic because it's one thing to be laid off from the job. It's another thing to have it be your own company. So I take a deep breath, try and find my empathy and say, okay, we're going to figure it out. We're resourceful people. Take the weekend, catch your breath. And on Monday, please file for unemployment. And at least we can get that going. So now I get major shock number two. And he says, oh, I can't file for unemployment. I'm self-employed. I'm not going to qualify for unemployment. I didn't know that. I had never been self-employed. So we're literally now down to my unemployment. We've purchased a new home not long ago. So we're heavily mortgaged. It's based on two full-time incomes. We have a full-time nanny on contract because we both work full-time and we both have some business travel. So we had a live-in nanny because that was the most economical, best way for us to do life. And we had just purchased a new minivan. So everything is now in jeopardy. And again, I'm thinking, oh boy, that angel, he really had it right. And I also started thinking about when I was pregnant. And as I said, I was only 10 weeks pregnant when the NDEs occurred. But Kimberly, I kept having these prophetic dreams, but I didn't know what prophetic dreams were. I didn't know you could have a dream that was trying to show you the future. And what would happen in that dream, and I was having it multiple times a week, I would see this big storm out at sea and I would see a sailing vessel, but all the winches would rip off, all the cleats would just be torn off, the masts would fall, be torn off, and the ship would break in two and the ship would go down. And I think that was my guides, my angels, my body.
Taking everything away. Yeah.
Trying to tell me, Wendy, your ship's about to go down. You better be paying attention. And then that, of course, physically was what happened. And then financially, emotionally, mentally, I mean, every way, life was really, our ship was going down. So we thankfully were, and I'm not finding a job. What a rough time to be interviewing. You're visibly pregnant. You don't feel well. I'm still trying to regain my health. I'm very, very worried about my health and the pregnancy, even though I'd been given that, you know, beautiful message that the baby would be born healthy. But the OBGYN's telling me the reality, because I said, okay, so now we're all good to go after the surgery, right? Yay, I'm so fortunate. Thank you, thank you. And he's like, well, Wendy, you know, you're not only a high-risk pregnancy from the transfusions, and now there's gestational diabetes starts going on. You've had surgery on your uterus. And the reality is you've got to really be paying attention to how you feel, because that that surgical repair could tear. Because of course, you've got such incredible, magnificent growth going on and such pressure on the uterus. And so I just look at it and I'm like, well, yeah, but you surgically repaired it. So what would happen if that were to give way? And he said, well, that would be the baby going up into your heart and lungs, and you would likely die. So I'm like, wow, this is a special way to go through a pregnancy. So, you know, just extremely, extremely stressful. So I just kept trying to hold on to what Archangel Michael had said, that I was going to be okay and that the baby was going to be born healthy. So I keep trying to visualize and imagine that while our financial ship and life as we know it is gone. So we thankfully were saved by Bank of Mom and Mother, with a lot of sacrifice on her part. She helped pay the shortfall every month until March, when my husband was able to get back to work. And so this was November, everything's falling apart. So we just have to soldier on all the way through to March. And, you know, because we don't know when and if he's going to get the company sold, or if I'm going to be able to find a new position, or what's going to happen. We know the baby's due mid-March. So something beautiful happened during a routine visit to the pediatrician. So we're just, you know, self-paying for whatever we need to pay for essential healthcare. So we're there, and I'm sitting waiting for our name to be called. And I don't know if you've ever sat in a pediatrician's office, but you know, what controlled chaos?
Once or twice.
So all of a sudden, so I'm like trying to keep our little toddler busy and safe while I'm like, oh, please call our name soon. Call our name soon. And all of a sudden I hear, look, look. And I know it's Archangel Michael. I recognize that voice and energy by now. So I'm looking around at all the kids like, oh, is everybody okay? Or is, you know, somebody chewing on an electrical cord? And so I'm looking around and I see this lamp right by the door in this little corner table. And I can see the lamp getting brighter and brighter and brighter.
Blue.
See, there's a brochure in front of it. Yes, Henley, it was very exciting. I agree. You get my dog punctuating that.
Yeah.
And so I see this brochure. So I'm like, oh, you want me to grab that brochure? So I tuck Tara under one arm and grab my diaper bag and run over there and grab this brochure and shove it in the diaper bag to read when I get home. And what it was an application for WIC, which I'd never heard of, which was Women, Infants, and Children. And it was a program through Medicaid. And I was able, thankfully, to qualify to get health insurance for us that would cover the pregnancy.
Yeah. And I want to stop here and just note that once you expand your senses and your spiritual wheelhouse, those little things just start happening. And they're happening without you noticing it. It's just and it becomes this almost like this Easter egg hunt. What's the next, you know, where's the next clue? Where's the next clue? So they're even though they locked their little mouths and put the cake on, they're like dropping you little clues.
Exactly. The breadcrumbs. Mm-hmm. You just have to pay attention and be willing to act on them, even though you may not really understand it, but just like you said, go on that Easter egg hunt. Another analogy I feel, it's like the cogs on the wheel are starting to fill in, and the wheel square is just starting to turn more fluidly for you.
Yeah.
So, you know, this is so appreciated that we're now going to have that health insurance. So I get approved for what's called a drive-through delivery, a 24-hour stay.
Now get out. You have the baby, now go.
Yep, exactly. Exactly. But I'm so grateful for that. And so I am home. So she is born. Our youngest daughter, Taylor, is born on Friday, March 13th, 1998. There were 13 babies born in that hospital that day, which I thought was hysterical. 13 of them on the 13th. And I am so grateful to be holding her the next day. Any parent, just those first moments and days of holding your precious newborn. But for me, with what I had gone through, and to see her healthy and to be holding her, I'd only been.
What a miracle.
It was an absolute.
A miracle that everything went smoothly. Yeah.
Exactly. So my heart is just opening and opening. I'm just expressing my gratitude and my relief. And I can just feel, you know, the love and the peace settling in. I'm home nursing her on my own in the bedroom. You know, my husband's doing something with our toddler to give me some peace for a few minutes. And so, you know, I've delivered less than 12 hours ago, and Archangel Michael comes in again. I can just see the light. I can feel his presence. I can hear him clear as day. And he says, your contract with your husband is complete. I about dropped the baby. I am now not in my finest moment swearing at an archangel.
Yeah.
And I am so angry, frustrated, let down. I'm like, can I even catch my breath?
Yeah.
You know, to just be enjoying this moment. And then I thought, wait a minute, maybe it doesn't mean what I think it means. And I'm like, let me clarify with him. So I asked him, I said, what do you mean by that? And he just said a little bit more kindly, because the first was just so factual. And he said a little bit more kindly, your marriage is over. So I'm like, really? Quite the timing, quite the timing.
And you're probably thinking right about now, this does not feel like a spiritual path.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. It doesn't. It feels like the highway to somewhere else.
I know to which you were referring.
Right, yeah. Right. So I just was so, every emotion, you know, sad, frustrated, angry, let down, not happy. I would learn years later, and it would bring me a lot of peace with it, once I started to learn about soul contracts and that we can make very powerful agreements with people, typically with soulmates that we've known many times, just, you know, simply meet soulmate, meaning someone you've incarnated with again and again to learn some important lessons. And I learned what my contract was with my now former husband. And it was for us to have a long-term marriage that we would both grow from considerably and to have beautiful children together. And I could see the children plural, like underlined, like, oh.
Yeah. And you know, when we have this incredible spiritual change in our lives, it makes more sense when we understand that's a huge change and the people around us are not necessarily going to shift in the same way.
Exactly.
It's like we only understand that 40 years later.
Right. Right.
When it's not so emotionally charged.
So I feel a lot of empathy for my former husband, because you hit the nail on the head, Kimberly. I'm sure he could feel something was very different for me and that I was not in the relationship in the same way. You know, we did everything we could to be very kind to one another, to be loving to one another. And I could have stayed. I mean, you can stay beyond the end of a soul contract, but your soul's not on its path.
Yeah.
You're learning, you're not progressing, you're not doing what you came to do.
It and once you become more attuned with that intuitive voice, doing something that's not on your path, it's almost impossible.
It's anathema. It's just,
you know, you're screwing up the whole time. Like, right. This is not what I'm, even though it would appear by all cultural standards to be the thing to do. It's a weird thing. The more in tune you get, the more you can no longer get off track.
That's so well. So we stayed together, again, doing our very best to be kind to one another, to be great parents. We stayed together until our children were 6 and 8, because I chose to wait until they were in school full time.
Yeah.
And then what we did was we divorced, I think, with a lot of grace and kindness and peace. We didn't even use attorneys. We did our own divorce, which is hard to do. The state does not make it easy to do that. And we worked with a family counselor, not to bring us back together, but to be looking for what's best for the children and help us think of some solutions and some reality so the kids are supported. And so these two amazing little girls get what they need. And we just made that be our focus. So we went to a 50-50 residential schedule. And again, we had something wonderful happen because my mother was retired. We were living in the Seattle area. She was out in Boston. And people had been saying to her, I'm the only child, it's the only grandchildren. And friends had been saying to her, well, why don't you consider moving out, you know, where Wendy is? Why don't you move out closer to family? Because they're not going to come back to Boston. So why don't you consider moving out there? So she then had a very a grand vision of she and I building a duplex together and being able to live to next door to one another, to be able to help one another. And that's exactly what we did. So she came on out and she announced she was team grandmom, meaning she was going to be a neutral party. If my former husband needed help, you know, picking up the kids because it was, you know, his turn, but he couldn't get there because of Seattle traffic and, you know, working full time, and same scenario for me, she would help me, she would help him. So she was just that marvelous glue for the family that every family needs, and particularly divorced parents need. And
what a beautiful gesture on her part.
Yes. So that was fantastic. So fast forward now, we divorce when the kids are six and eight, and I have to rebuild my life. That took me about 6 years to do, to get my career really going at a higher level, for us to get our new home built, because that had some significant delays to it, and just to really be getting back to a point where I was really happy again. The girls were doing great at 12 and 14. And Kimberly, it was like I suddenly like took a breath in. And it's like, oh my goodness, everything's going so great. What's missing? What's next? Oh my gosh, I'm ready to meet a great guy. And I didn't know I'd get to that point. I mean, it took me, that's what was right. That's what was right for me. So I'm now scratching my head, because I haven't been on a date in 25 years.
Mm-hmm. And what does one do on dates anymore?
And I'm like, where does one meet a great guy? I wasn't meeting anybody through church or through, you know, the few social activities. So I was very, very busy. So I went to a great, wonderful resource, and I went to younger girlfriends who were actively dating and said, hey, how are you meeting these great guys that you're dating? How are you doing that? And they're like, oh, Wendy, that's so easy. You just go on match.com. And my response was match.what? Because I have no idea what online dating is. Mm-hmm. Just not in my world. So girlfriends helped me put together a profile. And the minute that, so I go on some dates for a couple of months and, you know, kind of like knocking the rust off, because like you said, what do you do on a date? I do how to have these conversations, and what conversations are we having? So I'm like trying to readjust to the new normal. And the minute I change my match profile, the distance to 10 miles, because you put in a proximity for how far apart, you know, you're willing to live or work from the person that you're meeting. And the minute I put that in, this profile comes up and I am looking at it and I cannot look away from the screen. And I'm reading this profile, which is in no way predictable or trite. It was very unusual, but it's like I was two sentences ahead and I knew what he was going to say. And I was like, I know this man. I know this man. I know this man. Where do I know him from? And I read the last sentence, which says, any woman on a spiritual journey, particularly one interested in an LBL, we have to meet. And I'm like, LBL, what's an LBL? So I'm Googling, because girlfriends had rightly, and some guy friends too, had been kindly kind of like trying to watch my back a little bit with this process, because they told me kindly that I was a bit naive. And I'm like, that's okay, I understand. So I Googled it, make sure it wasn't some weird drug reference. And
or some club you don't want to be in.
Right. And I find Life Between Lives. LBL stands for Life Between Lives. Dr. Michael Newton, Journey mm-hmm. of Souls, Past Life Regression, this amazing 4-hour deep spiritual hypnotherapy where you get to go home and you get to have these experiences and learn why you chose your body and what your life led. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this sounds like an NDE without being close to dying.
Yeah, without the ambulance trip.
Exactly. Ambulance trip, exactly. So I am just like, oh my gosh, I've got to read this book. So I order it from the library because this is 2011. So it's before 2010. So it's before Kindle instant gratification, where I would have been reading that book in 5 minutes. And I'm waiting for the book to come. And I write to this match, and I'm checking with them and telling them, gosh, I feel like we know each other. And is LBL Life Between Lives? Are you talking about Michael Newton, Journey of Souls? That looks fascinating. I can't wait to read the book. And, you know, we just like get into this amazing conversation, first via PM and then via telephone. And we're trying to connect we're trying to sync our calendars to meet. And that took 3 weeks because of, you know, travel and different things. And that was perfect. I was, you know, we both like really, really wanted to happen sooner, but it turns out to be perfect. You just need to relax into divine right timing and realize divine right timing really is a thing. And that gave time for the book to arrive and for me to read it.
Yeah.
So
I remember when that book came out. I was lucky. I ordered it right away.
Yes. And so we meet at this lovely restaurant near my work, and my work was near his home. So that's where we agree to meet. And I get there first, and I'm just sitting on the little bench in the foyer looking toward the door, you know, waiting for him to come in and join me. And Kimberly, the moment he walked in, I thought we were having an earthquake. We do have some earthquakes in the Seattle area, and it was like the ground was rolling. And I'm like, well, why is he walking perfectly if we're having an earthquake? But I could feel life would never be the same. I can't stand up. I am gobsmacked. And I'm just looking at him like, oh my gosh, there you are. He sees I can't stand up, and he drops down on one knee in front of me, and he's looking like right in my eyes, right in my face, saying, I know you. So he helps me up by the elbow, and I'm trying to like shake it off, like, okay, Wendy, act normal. And we walk into the restaurant and have lunch. We were there for 3 hours. We would have stayed longer, but oh my gosh, we both had to get back to work. So we're already planning when we're going to meet again. And what we realized right during that very first lunch, we're finishing each other's sentences. It's this feeling of, I got to catch up. Oh my gosh, I found you again. Oh my goodness, this is amazing. And there was no connection in this lifetime. We'd gone over everywhere we'd lived and every professional group and everywhere we'd vacated. It was past lives.
Yeah, it was an energetic connection.
It was a soul level recognition that was really profound. And we both could just feel it so much. And that's that feeling of, you know, wanting to catch up. So if you ever, when you feel that with someone, and you may have felt it multiple times in your life, like that, there you are, and we've got to catch up, and I know you, that's a soulmate. That's someone you traveled with before. So just pay attention to it and go with it, because likely you've got some important things to do together and experience together. So we then dated for a little over a year, and it was incredible. I'm forever grateful for it, but it was unusually intense. It was highest highs, lowest lows, very dramatic. And that's not me. I am, my primary energy is peace. And for me to be going through such a dramatic relationship, and a lot of friends and family members were expressing concern about it too, very gently trying to ask me questions about it, because they were seeing some signs of things that didn't look healthy for me or good for me. But it was so important, and I'm really glad we did have that relationship. He ended it in month 13 via email.
Oof.
I was,
wow,
flames coming out of the top of my head.
Every woman just has your heart.
So angry. I truly think he did it thinking it was an act of kindness to give me a little bit of space and to let me process. But, and he was a writer, many, many wonderful skills, but one of which was he was a professional writer. So I get this full 2 pages of everything that he would like to say.
Yeah.
And I've had no opportunity to ask questions, give a response, get closure. So I waited about 3 or 4 days until I was back in my body and thought I could form words, and called him and said, I got your email. I agree. We can no longer be dating. Are you willing to meet for coffee? Because I think it would be really good for both of us to have a conversation. So he agreed, and I'm sure he was terrified.
Yeah, he just wanted to send you an email and slip out the back door.
Right. And friends were telling me, oh, Wendy, he's not going to show up. Oh, my goodness. We'll be around. You can call me. I'll be there for you. He's not going to show up for that coffee date. He did. And it was one of the most special, incredible 3-hour conversations, just like 3-hour conversation when we first met in person. It was interesting how it ended, and I'm putting ended in big quotes for a reason, how it ended the same way, because we were just able to share things that weren't being put on the table, because it's different when you're in a romantic relationship and it's just, you know, hormones are wonderful and they also complicate things.
Yes.
So, you know, when that was off the table, all of a sudden another level of clarity was coming back to it again. And so I think, okay, we're all wrapped up. We're done. And Kimberly, I was so really, really grateful for that conversation, but beyond heartbroken. I could not remember how to breathe. I didn't understand why I was still on the planet, because I was starting to understand soul contracts, and I knew he and I had a soul contract for a very happy marriage later in life. And that's right where we were, I thought. And equally important, we were meant to help other people wake up spiritually. And both of us had been shown, and these things had been starting to happen, but we hadn't had time to make them happen. We were shown us writing books together. We were shown us on radio and podcasting. And he was on television at that time. So he had those media connections. He was actually a sportscaster. So, and he's the one that's the writer. So he's got a lot of the pieces. I've got a lot of the pieces. So I can just see. So I'm heartbroken doubly, because it feels like these pieces aren't going to happen. And
it was an emotional, romantic loss, and then kind of life, future plans loss as well.
And spirituality, and just feeling like we were going to help humanity, and this is suddenly gone.
Mm-hmm.
I can't see any other way it's going to happen. And I didn't understand, if something is really important to your life path, to your heart, to your mission, and it doesn't get organized and come to fruition in one way, just let it be, because your guides are going to work on plan B, C, D, right through double.
Yeah.
You know, it's just going to come back. But I didn't know that. So I'm just mourning what hasn't happened. And I'm just, as I said, beyond heartbroken. It wasn't like, the word sad or depressed doesn't cover it. It's just, there was like no meaning. There was just no meaning to life. So fortunately, I do have 2 lovely teenagers. I have a lot of great friends, and everyone's just doing their best to buoy me up. You know, they can't understand the intensity of it, and that's okay. But I knew they cared about me and were, you know, expressing love and support the best way they could. And I really, really appreciated that so, so much. So what happens next? I think, okay, we're all done, you know, done, close the chapter on the book. What happens next is we start meeting. He and I start running into each other again and again in the most ridiculous ways. And it's like, we can't get away from each other. It's just crazy. And it's not like, you know, we're both going back to like our favorite restaurant or movie theater. These are places we've never been together. And I was like, what is going on here? If that ever happens to you, you still have some important work to do with that person.
Okay. Yeah, that's good information. Yeah, because that can be confusing.
Yeah, because we're being thrown back together again and again. So we, over time, as my heart heals a bit, we agree that we're meant to be spiritual seekers together. And we just put in some, I needed really pristine boundaries. So we agree, you know, going to meet only away from the house, you know, coffee or lunch, and, you know, just put some new boundaries around it. And we just started over again of, okay, you know, what's going on in your life? How can I help you with that? And the pieces started coming back in because he now has his first book. It's complete. He doesn't think he's likely to get an agent or a publisher. And he doesn't know how to self-publish it. Because again, this is, you know, years ago, and we're not so aware of.
And before the whole Amazon thing.
Right. It wasn't such a thing then. So I was like, okay, let me sleep on it. So I prayed and meditated before I fell asleep. And when I woke up in the morning, the very first email I see is from Create Space, which has now become Kindle Direct Publishing. It's the very first email. And so I forward it to him. I'm like, look, I think this is what you're meant to do. Evidently, you can self-publish it. Why don't you just get one of your sons, you know, get a techie, you know, more techie person than us. Cause I'm in my early 50s. He's in his late 50s. I'm like, get somebody with some tech skills in here, figure out a cover for you and the formatting piece and figure out how to self-publish it. So that's exactly what he did. Cause remember the contract, we were meant to write books together. What happened next was profound. I am writing and writing, but Kimberly, I cannot figure out, am I writing nonfiction? Am I writing fiction? How do I focus this? What do I write about? I wrote over 1,000 pages. I mean, it was like, just, there was this emotional buckets that just needed to purge, which is the way a lot of writers start. And then often you just, you know, need to toss that out. It's you learning how to write and to express yourself in a way that's going to be helpful to readers. So I'm so frustrated because I can't figure out which book to publish and I can't seem to finish one because I've got 10 of them started and I don't know what to do. So what happens next is my former boyfriend, my spiritual seeker partner here, he is having profound physical pain. He'd been a professional athlete in high contact sport. He'd had multiple car collisions. He'd broken his neck and he'd had a successful surgery for that, but he still had so much pain, neck, shoulders, upper back. And by this point, he had taken me for my first past life regressions. He actually found the therapist for me, drove me to it. I'm kicking and screaming because very ungracious, still angry, still so hurt because it was only a couple months after we broke up. And he was insisting, I'm supposed to take you there. Will you please let me take you there? Because this was back when sessions were being done in person and there was no
right.
And, you know, to have somebody to drive you into downtown Seattle and just hang out for a couple of hours and wait for you, this is a big favor. And I didn't know who to ask to do that for me because I had to be on a weekday when the therapist was there. And so I'm like a wet cat with them at that point. You're trying to baptize a wet cat. Yeah. But I agree. Okay, you can take me. So he does.
In your most loving and gentle way.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, exactly. And he does take me. And what I learn in that first past life regression, it's profound. It changes everything in a mere 2 hours. And I was, I think, just, shall we say, not the ideal client, not the ideal candidate, no spiritual practice, don't know how to meditate, very stressed, so uptight, so controlling, so type A. And I go in and the therapist has said to me, you're just going to have to be willing to let go of the outcome. We're just going to have to see what happens. Are you willing to plunk down your, you know, your hard-earned money to do that and just go with the flow? And I'm like, I have no idea what that means, but I knew she was the right choice for me. And I knew I was meant to do the work. So I was fortunate. I turned out to be an incredible subject against all odds. And what I learned in those 2 hours, we cleaned up multiple scenes from earlier in this lifetime, and I experienced not one, but two past lives in a lot of detail. And we just started to shift so much energy. I released a lifetime of anxiety in that very first session. It just changed everything for me. Mm-hmm. So yeah. I looked at her at the end of the 2-hour session. I'm like, get your calendar out.
We're doing this again.
Ready to schedule my life between lives. Because remember, that's how my boyfriend and I met, was me just seeing that clarion call in his match dating profile of an LBL. And she's looking at me in puzzlement. She's like, Wendy, that's an advanced spiritual technique. You need to do a lot more past life regressions. You need to have a spiritual practice. And I give her a lot of credit because I just looked her straight in the eye and said, I'm going to figure it out. Let's book it for a year from now. I'd love to sign up for a monthly past life regression with you. I do not have the budget to do that. There's no way that's going to happen for me as a single working mom in a very expensive city. I am barely paying the bills every month for me and 2 girls. So she kind of gulped and she's like, well, let me see if my calendar goes that far. It's back in the day of paper calendars. And we put it on the calendar and choose our date.
Okay. So I want to ask you a question here because I'm thinking back to your connection from your NDEs, and so many of us have been in that bumpy part, that bumpy, ugly, it keeps getting ugly. And it's like, when is this going to stop? And then you kind of break through into this new life. Were you able to take your expanded sensibilities from the NDEs and recognize this is where I need to be? Like, was there something in you saying, this is it?
That's a really powerful question. It's like the NDE started to get my oyster shell cracked open a tiny bit, but I was such a busy working mother that a lot of it I didn't know what to do with. I didn't have time to read any books. I didn't know to look for books, podcasts, support. I didn't even know what a spiritual teacher was. I didn't know to go for a psychic reading. I didn't know to work with a healer. It just all kind of got shoved on the back burner, but there was definitely more light coming in because that shell had been started to crack open. So then once I meet my former boyfriend, he had the contract to wake me up spiritually. So that's when it all starts to go into overdrive and all makes sense and all fall into place, because my daughters were now 12 and 14 and, you know, life was going well. And it was that many years later from the pregnancy NDE. So it's literally over 12 years later.
Yeah. And there's a powerful component to that, because I experienced it in my own life. When you're a mom and you have young kids, no bandwidth left over at Correct. The end of the day. I mean, no Correct. Bandwidth. And Correct. And like you, you know, once the kids get a little bit more self-sufficient and they've got friends and they've got interests, then there's a little bit more space to start yes. saying, okay, so what was all that stuff that was happening 12, 15 yes, years ago?
Exactly. Yeah. So that's why I meet the man with the contract to wake me up through mm-hmm. Because our guides meet us wherever we're at. They're just like looking and looking, how can I help? How, you know, her soul wants to do this. You know, she planned this. He planned this. How do we make this come? You know, how do we get this to happen in reality? They're just looking all over to help. And then I would, over time, I would learn what my second contract was with my former boyfriend. It was for him to break my heart repeatedly until I stood in my power fully without abusing it.
That is like brilliant. The core lesson for humans.
It's
around the globe.
Brilliant contract. And I would learn that I had a lot of karma. I had a lot of lessons that hadn't been learned. I don't see karma as punishment. I see it simply as a teaching tool, as unbalanced energy where you need to finish something up. I had a lot of karma for being a heartbreaker. So you can imagine how my romantic life has gone in this lifetime until I worked through those energies. So that was very helpful to have my heart so broken, because he was absolutely a heartbreaker who was not to be trusted and not interested in monogamy. And I very much appreciated his truthfulness in sharing that with me at the end of the year as he ended our relationship and said, I just can't do monogamy, period. End of story. And I'm going to break your heart. So it's better we end it now. So, and when you hear that concept of not standing in your power fully without abusing it, people often assume that I was overdoing it and, you know, just abusing my power that way. It was the opposite. I was shirking it. I didn't want to speak out publicly. I was so stuck in trying to share the books. I had a deathly fear of public speaking where I could not see the audience. I was fine person to person, phone to phone, or, you know, physically in person, but radio, podcasting, I would actively get sick or get laryngitis. I mean, I could not, it was either be throwing up or laryngitis. I could not speak because there were so many past lives where I had been punished for, and this is true for so many light workers, so many love workers, so many energy practitioners. We've been very harshly punished, lost our lives, had loved ones taken away or tortured, which is worse than something happening to you. Often. So just being able to do that. So guess who coaches me? Guess who finds my first interview for me? It's all my former boyfriend. It was amazing. So he's helping me. I'm helping him. He's got his book published. And the way.
So how did you transition from being a client of a past life regressionist to now this is what you do?
Yes, great question. So I have those two sessions a year apart with a wonderful Newton therapist. So I have the past life regression and the LBL in 2011 and 2012. And then in 2013, I have the good fortune to have a session with a Dolores Cannon student. So I have a quantum healing hypnotherapy. And it was so amazing. So much information came through. So much information came through in the LBL. I typed up the audio transcript of it because I was just trying to process it all. 65 pages. And I didn't realize that was part of me starting to write the books too, because I was just writing down all these spiritually transformative experiences and these sessions I was having, because I'm blocked on trying to write a book, but you know, I can write down these sessions and what's happening. So I have the QHHT with her in the summer. And then the next summer, she was coming in from out of state. She came and I had two more. So by that time I've had five sessions in 3 years. And it was very interesting in that third QHHT, the therapist said to me at the end of it, when we were debriefing, she said, "Do you realize you are not only so clearly aligned with your higher self, you're very easily speaking as your higher self during the whole session. You're very easily bringing in your guides." But she said, "You're also doing the therapist part and you're saying to me, ask her this, point this out to her." She's like, "I hardly need to be in the room."
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And for those that are listening that haven't had a past life regression session, it is like being in an IMAX theater. It is an immersive experience where you literally go into a realm that is 3D. You're seeing, sensing, feeling. It is a remarkable experience when it just looks like you're laying on a couch or in a chair or something like that. Your inner knowing, your soul takes you on this journey.
Yes.
That is so impactual.
Because
I've done them.
By your higher self and guides, because they know what you most need and they mm-hmm. know what's going to be most efficient for you, most effective for you. And I'm so glad, Kimberly, you're bringing up, it's not just seeing, because a lot of people are like, oh, I don't vision very well. I don't think I'm clairvoyant at all. Well, you may surprise yourself during the session because we're helping you raise your vibration and frequency, and your higher self and guides are coming in very actively. God, angels, whoever you believe in, ancestors, they're just there to help you because there's just so much unconditional love and wisdom to share with you that's in you as this like tough nut to crack open like me. And it's not only seeing, it's, as you said, it's feeling, it's sensing, knowing, hearing. So just all the senses are there.
Yeah. And it leads me back to that. So many spiritual channels and spiritual leaders will say, you have all the information you need inside of you. And it's so true. And yes. It really comes out when you're in a session.
Yes.
So you're in this session and she says, you know, you're doing it on your own. And did she say you might want to think about this? Or did you think maybe this is a good fit for me?
She said that to me after the session. And I knew it was true. She said, you may want to consider you're meant to be doing this work yourself. And it's like, oh, that makes perfect sense. I can just see that there's all these lives where I've done this type of work. And I so want to help other people. Because this is magic, what's being accomplished. I've released anxiety. I'm releasing physical pain right and left. I'm healing my relationships. I'm letting go of financial fears. I mean, it was just changing everything. I started healing animals, helping animals. It just was changing everything. So I just opened myself up. It's like, okay, I'm meant to become a hypnotherapist. What would that look like? Where would I train? How would I do this? You know, how will I finance this? And once I opened myself up to it and just let it be, just surrender it, just spiritually surrender it and let the pieces fall in place for you. And pretty quickly I get introduced to a Dolores Cannon student in the UK, and he was looking for just 10 students. He was a 20-year hypnotherapist, amazing gentleman. He was looking for just 10 students to work with one-on-one to then develop it into an online course. So he and I worked together. He's in the UK, I'm in Seattle, and that was how I got my initial training. You know, through him, and then went on and later trained directly with Dr. Brian Weiss, and then trained with a Michael Newton first.
Well, you certainly have the big hitters in this arena. And
very, very, very fortunate.
And so learned. I mean, these gentlemen really know this whole subject matter.
Yes.
So with your practice, and I noticed I was not only stalking you online, but I was looking at your website, you kind of have, it would appear to me that you have a specialty, a real energy healing focus. Can you talk a little bit about how that sort of came about for you? Like how did you pick that kind of niche to really
Certainly.
Move into?
Because I had so many things to resolve for myself. I had debilitating physical pain. I was to the point where I was almost in a wheelchair. And there was so much to resolve with that and other health issues, as well as just some real true financial fears, because it was just really, really challenging doing what I was doing to support my daughters, and how am I going to, you know, be helping them get through college, et cetera. And I just was drawn to go for these, you know, different sessions, and I was so led to the right people. So I go for my very first ever Reiki energy healing session with a practitioner, And it was actually with a coworker. We had worked together for years, and I knew he was a Reiki practitioner. I didn't really know what that was. You know, he'd explained it to me a little bit, and I was like, well, I think I'd like to have a session. So I had, made an appointment with him on a weekend and went to his home. And Kimberly, it was profound. It just really was profound. And I also was having past life information come through during that. And to vision a past life together with someone, I didn't know you could have the simulcast going on where we were both seeing the same past life. That very much happened with my former boyfriend. We were like working the puzzle together. That's why we were spiritual seekers together for about 8 years. So I then became a Reiki master energy healer because I knew I could, I knew it would be so good for me. And I knew it would be something that I could potentially offer to other people. And it was hysterical. Once I started formally training for it, I realized, oh my gosh, that's what I do every morning in the bathroom as part of my grounding and clearing my own energy, setting my intent for the day, raising my vibration and frequency. I would then tune in and I'm like, what three people can I help the most today? And I would be sending remote Reiki. Without knowing that that's what I was doing. Mm-hmm. So it just was so great to get that formal training and, you know, take it to another level. I also became a certified spiritual teacher because again, the things were coming up so fast and so furious. And there were so many spiritually transformative experiences. I was trying to make sense of them. So I was working at that point with a spiritual teacher, starting to get the concept of soul retrievals. I worked with some shaman. I'd worked with an animal healer. There just were so many people that I went to and benefited from. And I just started picking up those skills and getting that formal training. And then I got told I was to be a channel and I was meant to be a channel. And I went like, whoa.
A bridge too far.
That's too big. That's too big for me. Because again, it brought up so much fear factor from previous lives, and also because of the privilege of who I get to channel. It's Yeshua, Mother Mary, and Mary Magdalene. I'm like, oh my goodness, you know, three ascended masters and three such well-known. Can't I just have the obscure river god?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. From Sumeria that knows stuff.
Right. was my initial response. So I did step to the plate and I went and got several years of formal training to become a channel. And that just became a big journey too. And I'm so happy I did that because not only was it necessary and not only did it improve my health, because when I wasn't channeling when I was meant to be, because when you think about that energy rising up from your body and your heart, and you know, it's coming in through your crown too, but you need to speak it. And because I wasn't doing the channeling and I kept getting pushed and encouraged and I had the training and I knew I was meant to, guess what starts happening? I start getting this huge thyroid nodule in my throat. It was very uncomfortable. And I thought, oh, I think that has something to do with not channeling. So I did step to the plate and I did some different things and did start channeling. And I now channel daily, you know, whether it's for me at home alone, you know, whether it's for a friend informally, whether it's for a client. And sometimes clients aren't able to connect with their guide easily in the beginning. I know I certainly was not. I needed help to break through in the beginning and to get to know the energy and then to just, you know, it's like learning to ride a bike when you're a little kid. And it's like, you know, the training wheels were on and then, you know, you get some help with it. And all of a sudden, you know, you're riding the bike because you just find your balance. Cause a lot of it's about balancing your energy and balancing your ego and your emotions. So yeah. I channel people's guides for them regularly. And then I also do some channeling publicly, you know, whether it's via a podcast or however it might be called to serve. Yeah. So I just all these pieces together and said, okay, how can I best be in service to do energy healing for people, including the past life regression? Because we so often are impacted by past life energy and don't realize it.
Yeah. So I want to ask you, you know, you've had such a broad experience over the course of what has been 20 years now since your first NDE, about 20 years.
Yes, it was 1997.
Yeah. And so you've had this incredible experience where you've gone from two NDEs into a spiritual practice, into energy healing, into past life regressions, into channeling. What I want to know from you, because you're connected, as the earth is moving forward and we're going into the age of Aquarius, which, you know, if you were raised when we were raised, we've got the song burned into our brain, you know, right, from those right. days. But what it really means is things are changing on Earth. We are moving into a new era for humanity.
Yes.
And a lot of people watching might be noticing things within themselves. Maybe they know when someone's going to call, and by golly, they do. Or do they just have a suspicion on how this is going to turn out? Or maybe they see Aunt Betty in the kitchen and Aunt Betty died 20 years ago.
Right.
Things are shifting. We're becoming more perceptive. Yes. What can you share with us based on your experience, just as a little clue, you know, like when your guides lock their mouths and put, you know, duct tape over
them? Right, right.
Don't do that to us. Let us know just a couple of words of wisdom to help people into this transitionary period.
That's such a great question. And I know that's what your channel is all about, and I so appreciate that. My recommendation would be align with your higher self. Really get your own wonderful soul fully in your body and nice and grounded to Mother Earth, and do that every day. Just find a meaningful way to ground and clear your energy. You can ground your energy by being out in nature. Just got to get outside and just spend time there. You can clear your energy right when you're in the shower. You know, you're taking your shower or your bath for the day and just ask, let's cleanse and clear my energy. Let go of any energy that doesn't serve me, energy that's not mine, energy I don't need anymore. Just let it go down the drain and just feel the relief of that. Because we don't realize we're just carrying around so much old stuff with us that doesn't serve us, we don't need. So find ways to meaningfully have a daily spiritual practice, and it can be 5 minutes.
Yes.
Busy working mother, busy working parent, certain period of life. Certainly, if you can give it an hour, how wonderful. But please do not beat yourself up and don't not do it because you don't have an hour to meditate or you don't have an hour to drum or whatever it is. Also realize anything and everything can be a spiritual practice for you. It's just who we are as energetic beings. You can be, you know, just saying mantras as you're washing the dishes. It's just to clear your mind, clear your head, clear your energy, and just be opening your heart and listening and just connecting with the divine. So aligning with the higher self, also transmuting any remaining karma. When you know you need to step to the plate and finish up some lessons, there may be people or experiences that you need to eliminate from your life because they're not good for you. They're just not meant to be happening anymore. Be brave. Just do it. You need to do it. And that will just free up so much more time and energy. And again, opening your heart because you're loving yourself and taking care of yourself by doing that. Don't be just in these old habits that don't serve you anymore. So, you know, for a lot of people, it's moving. You know, no one loves to move. That can be really challenging. I've moved twice in the last 6 months, and I have another move coming up, and I hadn't moved in 15 years. So, you know, it's got a lot of freedom to it and happiness to it now that I've got that ball rolling and know what it's leading toward. So aligning with that higher self, that daily spiritual practice, transmuting the karma, any remaining karma. Because when we do that, we can get on the dharmic path. Oh my goodness. That instant manifestation and just really having a lot more flow and ease and grace and just, again, sense of humor and just being, letting go of, some of us are very good at planning, and my goodness, planning gets you so far, but you can absolutely be over planning and just not leaving any room for ease and grace and for cool things to ebb and flow in and out of your life that you never considered and hadn't had room for, because you're in these, all these habits, and we're just so overscheduled and so busy and so rigid, or at least I was. So, just shaking that up, because our guides can definitely shake us to wake us.
Yes, if that does happen.
Struggling. And so it's just looking for, and it can take time to find that silver lining in that car collision, in that job going away, in that health challenge, in that relationship door closing, whatever it might be. And then our Kundalini energy is a big deal, just preparing our bodies and having our Kundalini energy rise all the way up. When mine fully rose and I didn't know what I was doing, I didn't know what was happening, I wasn't fully prepared for it, but again, everything happens the way it's supposed to. All I did was meditate. I was listening to a certain CD. I was listening to Tom Kenyon's The Magdalene Manuscript as a CD with the companion to the book, The Magdalene Manuscript. And for that, whatever reason, that day I was just drawn to, normally I meditated lying flat on the bed, but that day I just felt drawn to sit on the floor, and I had my back really straight, and I was trying to sit cross-legged. I had super tight hips, so it was hard to do that, but I was trying to sit that way. And that's what needed to happen for that Kundalini to rise. And Kimberly, it went all the way up so powerfully. I went way out of my body, and just, it felt like this huge hole just burst through in my bedroom ceiling where I was meditating. And I went up and up and up, and it's like, oh my gosh, it's so beautiful. Look at this earth. We've got to take better care of her. That same message in my NDEs when I got that overview effect of, please, let's take care of Mother Earth, because that's how we get to live here. It's so, so important. And that's why she's raising her vibration and frequency and cooling herself off, because it needs to happen. So I went up and up and up. And then at a certain point, it's like, oh, that's too far. So I went back down into my body in the bedroom where I was meditating. And I'm looking up, just seeing the whole sky, thinking, how am I going to explain to the insurance agent? Because they got to pay to get this roof fixed.
Not a problem.
And then it took me about, a minute or two to go, oh, okay. There's not really a hole in the roof. It's all okay.
Yeah. Well, those are wonderful, wonderful suggestions. Thank you so much.
Absolutely.
How can people find out more about you? How can we connect with you?
Yes. Via my website. My website is my full name, Wendy, spelled with a Y, rosewilliams.com. And please, you're so welcome to request, and you can sign up for no cost. You can sign up to do a 1 hour energy healing, clearing and blessing with me, with the angels, and with Q&A, and I'll walk you through various services I have where I work with people one-on-one. So that 1 hour is a free group Zoom call, and people can sign up for it via the website. There's also workshops coming up. There's one in January on balancing your four elements, fire, water, earth, and air. Oh my goodness, that makes life be so much easier. Again, not turning that square stone wheel when you get them balanced. And there's one in February on soulmates and soul contracts, because such
wonderful.
A topic,
yeah.
So important.
Okay. Wendy, this has been so much fun for me. Hearing your story is wonderful, connecting with you on all these different topics. Thank you so much. I hope you'll come back and see us again sometime.
I would love to. I so appreciate what you're doing, Kimberly, and just your audience and people just starting to find some fun in it, getting some good information and support. And it's such a marvelous time, because there's definitely quality podcasts out there, as well as great books and wonderful spiritual teachers and healers that can help us, and that makes a difference to help each other.
All right. Wonderful. Well, thank you so much. And
the Thank you for joining us on the Journey to the New Earth podcast. We hope we've created a safe space for our listeners to find out more. Whether you're curious or have a deeper reason for joining our community, please share our podcast on your socials, and with a simple click to subscribe, we'll invite you back to our next episode. Remember, we're all in this journey to the new earth, so let's enjoy the ride.